Now we come to the reading, which Henry will speak on. Right, it is the whole of chapter 41 of Genesis. So I'll clear my throat. Pharaoh's dreams. When two full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the seven healthy, full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I'd never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw seven ears of corn, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other ears sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the seven good ears. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless ears of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked him, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and travelled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world.
Thank you, Judy, for that beautiful, beautiful reading. And as we sit listening, we can figure out the fulfillment, almost fulfillment, of the dreams that Joseph had when he was 17. In fact, listening while you were reading, I was just touched by how God's plan was unfolding step by step, one after the other. I would like us to zero in on verse 14 and 16 as we look through this great chapter this morning, and as we continue to draw lessons from the life of this young lad, and then just looking at how we could use our gifts for the glory of God. And if you want to read with me, please, 14 to 16, let's read together. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer. I cannot do it. Just shifting the focus from him immediately. Pharaoh was trying to, you know, let him feel as if he's the, you know, embodiment of wisdom and he did everything by his own power. But as soon as Pharaoh said this, he just drew glory back to God. No, I cannot do this. But I am sure that God will give you the answer he desires, because he desires a favorable answer. He desires the honest answer. He desires not just to mix things up, but tell him as it is. And that was what he was expecting of his magicians. Mind you, these people were trained. The magicians were trained by the authorities so that they could find solution to these sort of problems. But they failed woefully at this time. All the years they put in to their training, and in fact to who they are, they've just messed up, but they couldn't do this. But I'm sure that God was up to something. I'm sure that God was about to fulfill his dreams that he put in Joseph. This is Joseph for you. At this time, Joseph had been in prison for a little while, and we know how he faced the weight of injustice and how Mrs. Potiphar falsely accused him of attempted rape. And Potiphar didn't want to give him a fair hearing and then put him in prison. And he went to prison and he was there, I mean, thinking about God's words, thinking about what should I make of all these things. I believe those things were going through his mind. But I'm saying again, God was up to something. God was up to something. That was 11 good years of sojourn in this land. And at this time, from what we've read, that he was 30. At this point, he was 28. At the point that he was put in prison, imagine that he's been in Egypt all that time. Not even a sign of what he had, all the things he received from the Lord while he was 17, when he had all those dreams. But God was about to bring something out of nothing. And in a parallel to today, I can just think about Joseph's life. And as imprisoned under false accusations, abandoned in jail, how many people today have been imprisoned wrongfully, abandoned, and sometimes because those at the hem of our face are just looking to cover up their own mess, to just retain their post, and to just tell the world that they are not incompetent? Because if we find out that these people have been wrongfully jailed, maybe they will lose their post or lose their position or their jobs. But how many people today are in prison, wrongfully accused, because the judge or because the people are in authority are just selfish about their own positions? And as we think about Joseph, let's pray for today in your own minds for people who are all over the world, even back home here, who are in prison. I think the other day, over the news, someone was in prison for 17, I think, years. I'm not too sure now, 17 years. Unjustly imprisoned. I mean, if I were like this person, I mean, what would I don't know if I would be able to forgive. I will, because God says so. But it's not easy. I mean, you know that you are innocent, and no one wants to hear you, because they were just interested in covering up their own mess. So Joseph was landed in prison by Potiphar, and there God began to hatch a plan. God began to set the stage for what he's about to do bringing his fulfillment, the purposes he had for this young man. And so while he was there in prison, something happened in the kingdom. These two people who were in charge of Pharaoh's household, they went into trouble with Pharaoh. Pharaoh decided to put them in prison because he was not happy with them. The chief butler, which is the cupbearer, and the baker, the chief baker. Mind you, these two people were sort of key people in his life. The cupbearer is the one that tests all the wine and all everything that the king will have to drink. He goes through him. He must test and make sure that it's not been poisoned and it's safe and right for him to drink. And the baker is like the chief chef. You know, he's the one that prepares and oversees the kitchen. Everything that other chefs did, he was the one that prepares them. Looks after what is bought and what is brought into the kingdom, what goes to the kitchen, and what is safe for the king again to eat. And so they fell out with him. And it so happened that it was the same prison that Joseph had been put in that these two men were now brought. They were brought together. And you know, just as we saw last Sunday, wherever this young man Joseph went, the favor of God also went with him. Right there in prison, forgotten by Potiphar, Joseph found favor with the warden. And the warden now put him in charge of all the prisoners and promoted him. He was the chief, let's say the chief prisoner, and he was the prefect of all other prisoners. And one morning, he came up and looked at these two guys, and they were moody, and he asked them, "What's wrong today?" You know, because I assume it was his usual way of greeting them in the morning, checking out on them, because he was the chief prisoner. And they said to him, no, all is not well. We've had dreams, and we don't know what this dream means. And they've been cracking their heads, trying to figure out what the dream was. But God was about to use this same dream to bring about a bigger one. And so he said, "All right, let me hear your dreams." And the first one went, "Well, I had in my dream three olive plants, and they grew up and produced grapes. And there came a time I saw myself pressing those grapes in the hands of Pharaoh." And he said, "All right, is that the dream? That means in 3 days' time, you're going to be released from this prison, and you're going to get back to your job and your duties, and you're going to serve the king just like before." As soon as the other person heard the baker, he said, "All right, I got my dream too." He was interested in receiving interpretation for his own dreams also. I was in the dream, and I was carrying three baskets of food on my head. And as soon as I was carrying the baskets, birds of the air were feeding from the basket that I had on my head." And Joseph looked at him and said, Oh, I'm sorry. In 3 days' time, sorry, you're going to go out from here, but you're going to be hanged. You're not going to make it. That's your dream. You're not going to make it. In 3 days' time, it's going to just be the opposite of what this man had. And just as they had their dreams and just as the interpretation went, it was Pharaoh's birthday around that time. And Pharaoh decided to celebrate his birthday, and he tried to do something very different. And as they were celebrating, he had a dream. And as we read this morning in the dream, he had those seven cows and those seven other lean cows. And he had this, I would say, strange dreams that he had. And when he had this dream, like I mentioned earlier, he decided to ask the magicians to interpret his dreams for him. But God was about to do something, even though this man forgot Joseph. I don't know if you've been in a position that you expected someone to be of favor to you, someone to help you with something, and they forgot you. Maybe you invested so much in this person, in this relationship. You were expecting the relationship to turn out something good, but they decided to go their own way. Disappointments? That was what I believe he felt, big time. But when all goes well with you in verse 14 and 15, remember me and show me kindness, Joseph said to the cupbearer. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of here. Get me out of this prison. And hear what he says. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I have been, and I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. I am innocent. From day one, I've been saying this. No one wants to hear me. I've been saying this to Potiphar. I've been saying this to prison wardens. I've been saying this to all my friends. No one wants to hear me. I am innocent. Please, please, could you help me? When you get out of here, please, could you mention me to Pharaoh? Because I would like to get out of this mess. But what happened? The cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. But God, I believe, did not forget Joseph. He was hatching a plan. He was building patience in him. He was building maturity in him. He was building wisdom in him. He was preparing him for the ripe time for his ministry to be released, for his gifts to be manifested. He was waiting for the opportune time to use what he's put in him to let him shine and get him to where he wants him to be. A few lessons that we'll learn from Joseph. Number one is the lesson of patience. Because he endured 2 years of wrongful imprisonment. He knew he was innocent. He was shouting that he was innocent. No one listened to him. But he learned a lesson in patience. He was being groomed by God, prepared by God, if I'm allowed to use the other word, by God, to let patience have his way in him. And also, God's timing. You know, God is the one that puts us where he does, when he does, for his own good purposes. And I, throughout my life, when I look back, even though I might not understand at that point, but when I look back, I will understand, all right, was it why you put me here when you did? Was it why you let me go through this when you did? Oh, I get the lesson now. God's timing is different from my own timing. God knows when he wants to do what he wants to do because he is building patience in us. But sometimes we might even be impatient with ourselves. Yes, sometimes. But God's timing wants us to just submit our own timing to him and allow him to do his work in our lives. And this young man was full of wisdom. Imagine what he suggested to the king. Imagine how he carried himself to the presence of the king. He advised him. I don't know, but maybe from experience, and maybe divine inspiration, but he was able to articulate and able to just bring a plan and sold it to Joseph. As I was reading the other day, I was like in myself, this guy is trying to put himself forward indirectly because he might suggest and he might suspect that no one will fit in with this criteria. He might suspect And he was putting all those suggestions to Pharaoh. But God was also about to use his wisdom, the way he carried himself, the way he presented his plan for the glory of God. And look at him. He is a leader in the making. Very powerful leadership gifts here. And he was being prepared for the leadership position ahead of him. And he was appointed as the second in command. And we learn that God's plan is different from our own plan. And it was God's plan that he gave through Joseph that saved Egypt and even the neighboring lands, as we're going to read next Sunday when his brothers arrived. And also, we learn a lesson in recognition, because God lets your gifts get recognized when you submit under his own plan and not with your own plans. My prayer is that God will help us, that what he is putting us will be recognized in time, the right time, and we open doors for us. Remember, he's been in this land for 11 years, and he's 28 years at this time. I'm not sure that matters, because God can do the same with someone who is 88, who is 82, who is 98. Age does not matter. I pray that God will prepare us. And finally, faithfulness is always rewarded. God knows us all. What did I say? God knows us all. You know, yesterday, driving with my children, I didn't know what the subject was, but I remember telling them, God is the only one that looks at the heart. People look at faces. Yeah, I remember what we were discussing. We were discussing about what you do and how you carry yourself, the impression you give to others. And I remember telling them, the impression you send out is what people will describe you with, because they don't look at your heart. They look at what you say and what you do. That's human. That we are human. God is the only one that looks at the heart. But he knows us anyway. He knows who is pretending and when they are pretending. He knows who is covering up what they are covering up. He knows us all. We cannot hide from him. There is nothing hidden in his presence. He knows us all. But God is God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's trust God's timing, that he is able, he is faithful. And just like Joseph, we as believers have been entrusted with unique gifts today. How can we use those gifts to bring glory to God? Just like Joseph, let's point the attention back to the one who is the giver of the gifts. Because it's not about the person who has received the gift. It's about the giver of the gifts. He gives his gifts however he wishes, to whoever he wishes. And it's for us to use all those gifts to the glory of God. Now, why was Joseph able to interpret all the dreams? Why? First of all, I believe it was his spiritual gift. Do you believe that? It was part of his gifts, part of his spiritual gift. But I believe we serve a God who knows everything. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, he says, "And even the very hair on your head are all numbered." God knows us. He knows even the hairs on our heads. So he knows everything. And also he relied on God's wisdom and power. Being his spiritual gift, he relied on God. "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And also, he never takes credit for himself. When we go back to chapter 40, verse 8, when he told these two guys, what he told them. Let me read verse 8 of chapter 40. "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Then Joseph told them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams," he said to these two men, "because interpretations belong to God." Let me close this morning by suggesting to us that three things. Number one, every believer has got a gift. Every believer, I believe this and I will say it to the day I die. Every believer has got a gift. No believer is useless in the church. Every believer in the church, they have got gifts. In 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen." In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7 also, we are told there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is God who works in our lives. You know, I think the reason why we misunderstand gifts and services and people is that we are looking for unity, which is not uniformity. We are all different. And that's why in the church, the capital C, the ecclesia, there are different expressions. I don't know why people quarrel today. We are not charismatic. You are not Pentecostal. Let's forget about that. Right? The way we worship here is quite different from where the, you know, others worship. But they are all God's people. They are all God's people. People find expressions differently. In the African churches, for example, they come here not just for 1 hour. They spend 3 hours, 5 hours. They dance, they jump. That's the way they express their worship to God. And we all are different. All right, we have different services. We have different things we want to do. You know, why we think we are better than people is that we compare ourselves with others. They are different. I am different. You are different. There is never a time we are all going to have the same gifts. We are all different. Let's learn to celebrate the ones God gave to us. And appreciate others also because of the ones they've received from God. I want to suggest to us, how can you identify your gifts? How can you recognize your gifts? Before we go to that prayer, how can we identify our gifts? I want us to study the scripture. And as we read the word of God, let's look out for what stands out for us. And also, what do we enjoy doing in the church? When I was growing up, one of the things that helped me to find out my gifts, things like, what do I enjoy doing in the church? What do I want to happen in this church? And again, also, listen to God's instruction. Praise the name of God. Listen to God's instruction. Let's understand. Acknowledge what God has given us. Let's value what He's given us. And stop comparing ourselves with others, and let's also make every effort to develop and nurture our spiritual gifts. And finally, there are, I believe, supernatural gifts and there are natural gifts. And like I said the other day, I believe, this is me, that spiritual gifts are only for believers because they are spiritual. They are spiritual. They are supernatural abilities. They are only for believers. But you know, God also uses our natural abilities and our acquired abilities for His own glory. There might be some things that maybe, for example, Vivian here has a very powerful gift of singing. And as she uses the singing voice, God will use those, the talents, as a spiritual gift to minister to others, to bless people, even let people get saved. So there are many things God gave you as your natural talents and abilities and, you know, things you are able to do physically, naturally. Please ask God to use those things to bring glory to himself. Can we pray this prayer, please? Let's get back to the prayer. The prayer I had. Sorry. If we can. Right. Well, if not, never mind. Yeah. I just want us to pray that God will help us as we, you know, shout out the prayers or say it silently to him and let him hear us today. I can pray it for us if we don't have it. It is my prayer that God will help us to identify our gifts and help us to use them to his glory. Let's you know what? Let me say the prayers for us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you reveal our gifts, fill them with your spirit, and guide us to use them wholeheartedly for your kingdom. Amen. That's our prayer. That God will reveal our gifts. Reveal our gifts, Lord. Spiritual gifts. Help us also to recognize our natural abilities, our talents, our acquired ones. And Lord, help us to put them to use for your glory. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you, the giver. Thank you. Thank you. We pray, Lord, for those who are finding it very difficult to identify their own gifts. We pray that this prayer will work for them, that they will henceforth discover their gifts. We pray also for those who are not very comfortable to put their gifts to use, out of fear of being misunderstood, maybe. We pray that you will give them boldness, Lord, that they will bring on their gifts. The church needs such gifts, that we will shine with our gifts, and that we will bring souls to you. Maybe someone also is thinking, I'm too old for my gifts to be manifested. Lord, I pray you speak into our hearts, that no matter how young or how old we are, it doesn't matter. What matters is for us to submit under the influence of your Holy Spirit. Help us all to be bold enough to put ourselves forward with our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.